tuned to the Turley Frequency, starring your host, Kevin Turley, with guest stars Mike Romano and Reed Hodges, and special guest stars, the members of the FCC, whom we respect respectfully. Now, time to get tuned into The Frequency. Call the show at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. Or text us at 251-928-2111. And now we cross live to the Archangel Radio Studios in downtown Fairhope to at last feel the Turley Frequency.
Today on the show, we hear about another movie event coming up involving the world-famous tenor Andrea Bocelli. We talk to the film producer Christian Kelly to find out more about this in the next segment. Top of the hour, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and you must feel free to send us your prayer requests by calling the show on 888-928-0881 or text me on 251-928-2111. Lines are open right now. Rob Hirst joins us in the final segment to bring us up to date with all that is happening across the Archdiocese of Mobile. And also, we have a very special ticket giveaway this morning, which I'm going to talk to you about straight after this. So, with all this good stuff ahead, we better get this show on the road. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You've made it to Friday. We've all made it to Friday. So give yourself a pat on the back and welcome to the Turley Frequency with me, your host, Kevin Turley, for the next 2 hours. I hope that we can amuse you, entertain you, and hopefully also enlighten you and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior. Now, we have something very special to give you this morning, and I'm going to ask our producer, Reed, to explain what's happening.
Of course, Kevin. Fathom Events have given the Turley Frequency 5 tickets to give away for its upcoming movie event. The tickets are for the movie The Journey, a music special from Andrea Bocelli, to be screened on April 2nd at AMC Classic Jubilee Square in Daphne. And to win the tickets, all you need to do is call 1-888-928-0881. The lines are going to open at 8:20 Central Time, which is just about 15 or 16 minutes from right now. And the first 5 callers are going to be winning, are going to be able to win tickets. So at that time, have your phones at the ready.
Have them at the ready. Quick draw. So there's 5 tickets. So there's one for me, one for you, one for Mike. Is that right?
Maybe if we have them at the end, but I think it seems like a pretty cool event, so we should...
No, I'm only joking. So while I'm interviewing the producer of the movie, Christian Kelly, who's coming on to join us in the next segment, you get your phones at the ready, as Reed tells you, and you phone that number, 888-928-0881, and you could have a ticket for this wonderful screening. And you'll hear all about that in the next segment. I was watching the trailer this morning for this film, and it looks absolutely amazing. It's as much a spiritual journey as it is a musical one. So it may just be how you want to start Holy Week, in a cinema with a lot of popcorn and a cool drink. Not a bad way to start. And some beautiful images which are going to move you and uplift you on the screen. So so get those calls in to Reed and Mike at 8:20, and we'll see who the lucky winners are. And maybe later in the show, Reed, we could have them back on to explain and talk about their excitement at going to see this wonderful film.
Yes, that'd be a great idea. We're watching the phones closely starting at that time.
You keep a very close watch on those phones, Reed, as you always do, you and Mike. It's wonderful. So listen, we've got that kind of end of week feel here today on the Turley Frequency because, as I say, it's Friday. It's the last day, and we always do things a little bit different on a Friday. So today we're giving away stuff. We're actually giving you something that you can go and enjoy. Now, during the week, I mentioned something which I got some quite interesting feedback on. You may remember that I was interviewing Drew Mariani during the week, who, as all of us know, is a wonderful talk show host on Relevant Radio and has been doing his show for 20 years and is very much, he does the Divine Mercy Chaplet as well, and he's a wonderful inspiration for people like me. And I think in the run-up to that, I was saying that maybe St. Joseph would be a good patron for talk show hosts. Do you remember I said this? Because he never says a word. And it was slightly tongue-in-cheek, I have to admit. You know, yes, by all means, have St. Joseph the worker as patron of whatever your work is. But to have St. Joseph the silent as the patron of talk show hosts, I have to say there was a little glint in my eyes, if you could see it as I said it, because I thought it was kind of fun. It was a fun way of in a way, sending up the whole talk radio genre in a sense where, you know, people make a living like me by talking, right? That was until I got a telephone call from a listener. Yeah. Off air. And she called me up and she said, I won't say who it is or where she was calling from, but she said, you're all wrong about that St. Joseph the Silent. I said, tell me more. She did. She said he wasn't silent. And I think I more or less said that in the discussion on her. I was saying that he wasn't silent. He's known as St. Joseph the Silent, but obviously he wasn't silent. He must have spoken to Our Lady and to the infant Jesus and obviously people around him. And he was a tradesman. He was doing his business. So he must have spoken to those people that he did business with. Otherwise, he would have had no business, right? I mean, he was not a mute. I think I said that on her. But she took it a stage further and in a very interesting way because she said, I do think that he is the patron of talk show hosts. And I said, tell me more. I'm all ears. And then she said something and the penny began to drop. And it was this. It wasn't that St. Joseph was silent as much as St. Joseph was listening. He was listening to the word of God. She's absolutely right. Look at the Gospels, St. Matthew's Gospel, the many times that St. Joseph is listening to the word of God, mediated through angels or whatever, but he's listening. Even in his sleep, he's listening. Now, it may come as a surprise to those of you who are listening to me this morning. Do you know what the greatest attribute is for anybody who's doing a talk radio show, especially an interview show, be it call-ins or be it guests, as we do here on this show? Do you know what all the greats, the Larry Kings and all the rest of it, you know what they say is the greatest attribute for a talk radio show host? That's right. An ability to listen. So as she was talking to me, it was like one of those, if it was a cartoon, the light went on above my head, right? Suddenly I thought, aha, I was on the right track. I just didn't know it. I was saying the right thing. I just didn't know why I was saying the right thing. And this friend of mine, who's an avid listener to the show, and she knows who she is, she was listening and she got it straight away. She said, no, St. Joseph is the listener. He listens to the word of God and then he acts. So St. Joseph is the patron of all talk radio show hosts, I've decided, and is certainly the patron of the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio today. So that was very, very interesting feedback from a listener. And I'm open to any feedback you might have. We've had some amazing guests on this week, right? We had John Robb on yesterday talking about bringing Catholics home, this search and rescue mission that he and others are on in the Archdiocese of Mobile. We had Drew Mariani on, as you know. We've had people coming on and talking about strange archaeological stuff that's slightly, shall we say, left field. We've had lots and lots of people coming on. talking about all sorts of things. If you've got any view on that, good or ill, let me know. I'm really, really interested. Yes, we do the mailbag every week, but I'm also happy if people want to come on air and say, do you know what? You got that wrong. Or let me explain to you where you got that half right. Happy to do so. Okay, so thank you for the feedback. Keep it coming. Now, something else came to my attention today. Now, we have talked a lot on this show about working from home, okay? And I'm not going to rehearse all those arguments again. We backwards and forwards. But there was a very fascinating article in the New York Times, and it was by somebody who had worked at the top level of in the White House on these type of things and various other think tanks and what have you. And it was a very chief executive of various work advisory councils and different things. So he knew what he was talking about. But it was the first time that I'd seen a link or heard a media entity make a link between the recent bank collapses. Do you remember the Silicon Valley Bank out in California that collapsed with working from home? Yeah. It was a really, really strange way in which he was relating to recent woes within the American economy. And he was starting to join the dots and bring it up to this idea that somehow this was linked to people working from home. Now, in the article, he goes through all the usual stuff that we've talked about on this show many times about lack of productivity, lack of oversight, and also the way in which people disconnect from their work because they're working from home. And he also says that Friday is the absolute zenith of working from home. There's nobody in an office on a Friday. So if you're listening to this at home, working from home, congratulations. Well done. Now, the other day we were talking about this and I said there's pluses and minuses. OK, there's definitely pluses and minuses to working from home. And I'm not going to rule definitively either way. I think it depends very much on the type of work you're doing and the type of person you are. And it's much more complicated than people would maybe have us believe. But he said that the Silicon Valley Bank, even as COVID and all the restrictions faded, which negated the necessity for people to work from home. Do you remember that was the reason why so many people were initially working from home, because it was COVID related. Well, as that faded, the Silicon Valley Bank's bank leadership team continued to work remotely. And it continued to work in a very dispersed way around the United States and probably beyond. And what people can see now is that that type of working for a bank and for the top level of a bank is, quotes from what he says, it hindered communication and collaboration. And if you think that's just a kind of an opinion, the bank in its annual report, which was only published a few months ago, warned, quotes, that it may experience negative effects of a prolonged work-from-home arrangement. So there it is in black and white, in the bank's own documents. It's saying quite categorically that working from home is, at the very least, obstructing its business, if not negatively impacting upon it. So I thought that was really interesting because it suddenly got me thinking that maybe the way in which we're working from home or the social phenomena of working from home is not just about work. And this is something else we've talked about in this show, especially a show dedicated to St. Joseph the Worker, which is how much we become who we are through our work. We are socialized through our work. We are embedded into society through our work. And that if it's all done remotely or it seems to be done down the end of a computer, there's an element of disconnect to it, which may have an impact on other aspects of who we are and the society around us. Now, there's been all sorts of other stuff about how working remotely can impact on other businesses. So the people who sell you coffee or who did your tailoring or did your dry cleaning in the center of towns, a lot of those businesses have gone to the wall since the COVID pandemic because there's not the same footfall that you have in major cities. I told you that the center of London is a ghostly a ghostly replica of what it was, say, even in 2019, when there was a lot of working from home, but the center of London and the city of London, the sort of commercial centers of London were busy and buzzing places. Today, they're just not. And a lot of the people that I knew who worked in banks, insurance, and various other in the city of London, which is the London equivalent of Wall Street, guess what? They're all working from home. In fact, I had a telephone call about a year ago from a friend of mine who was working about 300 miles from London. His office was at smack bang in the center of London, and he went into it once a month. He had absolutely no intention of ever going back to that style of working. So I'm just wondering, are there hidden dangers really in this working from home that we haven't yet experienced? That if a bank can fail partly because of working from home, what else can? What else can? On that cheery note, on a Friday, sorry, I didn't want to, listen, if you're sitting there enjoying your working from home, good, okay? Maybe it's going to work for you. Not, I mean, it will improve some things, but some things it will have a negative impact on. But it may be in unexpected ways, which also leads me to the conclusion that we are moving into uncharted waters. The way society has been structured for the last certainly 150, maybe 200 years, is very much moving in a totally different direction. It's partly driven by technology, but it's also partly driven by human nature. People will do ultimately what they like and will make choices accordingly. I don't know about you, but let's do a quick audience survey here. Mike and Reed, what do you think of this? Do you know anybody who's working from home, and has it had a good or a negative impact upon them?
Yes, a lot of my friends work from home. For the most part, it is a good thing. You know, they're able to complete the work that they need to do, and there's no commute, so you save a lot of time. You can be more comfortable, you know, you can plan your day better around the work that you do. But in my experience, I can see how a lot of distractions can kind of crop up if you, like, working in an office allows you to focus only on your work, whereas, you know, being at home, some of my friends have children and they work at home, so you can imagine the distractions that can come with that.
Yeah, I've got firsthand experience because my wife, Jen, works from home, mm-hmm. and she also homeschools the kids. So, but my wife is very efficient, so it's hard for me to do it because I get easily distracted. I don't know, maybe it's the ADD. Hey, look, a squirrel. But, yeah, she enjoys it, and she's done it now for, this is, I guess, her 10th year of working. Yeah, of working from home. So she's efficient at it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Mike. I mean, it's partly personality. Some people would work well wherever they are. Put them in the North Pole, they'll work well. Put them in an office, they'll work well. There's other people, and I've been there in offices, and I think I've said this, who do nothing in offices. They go around distracting everybody else. So mm-hmm. whether they're in an office or whether at home, in fact, they may be less of a liability if they were at home.
Or are they talking about me?
they weren't talking about, but you, Mike and Reed, and many others don't have a choice to work from home. I mean, it's not really possible to do what you do working from home, right?
The live radio show, no. The editing, yes.
Yeah, the other aspects of it, you definitely could, but the live is impossible to do at home. Or I mean, I guess it would be
possible
if you had the equipment, but I mean.
I'd like to be here in the studio so I can, you know, make the connection with Todd and Ellen, let them know, you know, count them down and give them the hand signals of like, hey, let's stretch this out. And
Kevin, you're of course in a expensive, nice radio studio right now, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm sitting at home with a computer, speaking to you across the ocean, which is quite a phenomenal thought when you think about it, that we have, a host in Europe and we have a radio studio in Alabama and we are broadcasting around the world. It's quite mind blowing, but
and guests from Brussels and California.
Canada, all around, absolutely, all across the world. I think the difference for me is that I'm one of those, I've been working remotely for a number of years, so it doesn't feel that unusual. But I tell you what I do go into, and it's kind of a zone, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where I'm not actually conscious, I'm at home, I'm getting ready for the show, or I'm on the show, and there's nothing else but the show, if that makes sense.
Yep, certainly. Yeah. I mean, that's just focusing on your work, which, like I said, it's you can certainly do it at home. It just there's more room for distractions at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just hope that someday when I'm doing the show, we don't get a big knock on the door and it's the police or something and I have to answer the door. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Crimes against broadcasting, they've finally caught me.
Only if Elliot, you know, calls you out, you know.
Let's not encourage anybody. But if you're listening, Elliot, maybe you want a ticket for Andrea Bocelli. Call in 820. So listen, we're going to take a break now, and we're going to come back with Christian Kelly, and Reed and Mike are going to be sitting there waiting for your phone calls. Right, 888-928-0881. If you want a ticket for this wonderful film, now's your moment to claim it. We'll be back right after these words. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency. Welcome back to Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I'm Kevin Turley, your host here on the Turley Frequency. Now, the name Andrea Bocelli must be familiar to you. He is the Italian operatic tenor who is classical music's biggest selling living artist, with record sales in excess of over 80 million units. And he's also one of the world's most popular crossover artists, which is an industry way of saying that he appeals to everybody, not just those that like classical music. Well, now we have a new film about the singer that is about to come to a movie theater near you. And we have some tickets to give away for it. So remember, if you call 888-928-0881, you may be one of the lucky recipients. But to hear more about it, I am delighted to be joined by Kirsten Kelly, who is the producer of the film, which is The Journey, a music special from Andrea Bocelli. Christian, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Christian, what's not to like? Andrea Bocelli, beautiful Italian countryside, an ancient pilgrim path, probably stunning footage. I mean, this really is a film event.
It really is. You know, it was, I like to say it was a dream project. But, you know, we were there in Italy on this beautiful Via Francigena pilgrimage trail with Andrea on his horses, talking about his faith with other music artists. I mean, just the scenery itself, along with the conversations and the music, is a beautiful trifecta.
So just take us back a bit, Kirsten, because there'll be people who will be saying, well, is he just trailing around Italy? Sort of, is it an Italian tourist board sponsored event? It's not, is it? He's on an ancient pilgrim path, which I have to say from memory starts in England. It starts in Canterbury, from what I can remember, and goes all the way to Rome. But why? I mean, let's go back a little bit. You're the producer of this film, so you're there at the start of this. I mean, why did he decide to do this? What was his thinking, or what was your thinking as this film began to take shape?
Yeah, you know, we had emerged from a really difficult season in the world from COVID, and Andrea just felt like it was time to kind of take a moment to reflect on what really matters in life. And so he decided to do this pilgrimage trail, something he had always wanted to do. He had heard of some composers who had done it before just to get some inspiration on their music. And so he wanted to do it. And just through his wife and his kids, they were like, well, why don't you document it while you're on the journey so that other people can see it with you? And so he decided to do that. I don't think he thought it was going to be as big of a production as it turned out to be. But, you know, we put a lot of people back to work through the production. And I think he took the audience on this spiritual journey to discover what matters, you know, family, faith, forgiveness, hope. There's so many beautiful topics that we touch on during this project.
And I mean, I looked at the trailer this morning, Christian, before you came on, and I was really quite surprised because, I mean, it's visually stunning. I was expecting more of a kind of travelogue with musical interludes, but it's not that at all, is it?
No. We went to some of the most beautiful churches and basilicas in Italy, and just the drone footage in itself, sometimes when I look back, I'm shocked at what we captured. It really feels like it's from another world.
It sure does. You're listening to the voice of Christian Kelly, producer of The Journey, a music special from Andrea Bocelli. And it plays in selected theatres throughout Holy Week, beginning on April 2nd. And we'll be telling you a little bit more about that in due course. Now, Christian, being a film producer, I'm assuming you sat in your offices in Hollywood and just phoned Andrea occasionally and said, everything going okay? Food all right?
Yes, that was not the case at all. I was actually on the
road. I'm joking.
No, I know. 21 days on a road in the car, listening to conversations, taking notes, fielding questions. It was all hands on deck project. You know, he did not take a shortcut. He did not ride one bit of the journey. He wanted to do the whole thing himself. And we started at Rome and went to his hometown in Laiatico. But he wanted to do it all.
Sorry, I think we lost you there for a moment, Christian. He wanted to do it all. Now, the other thing which many people may not know, or some people may not know, is that Andrea is actually blind.
Yes, he is. And so that makes it even, honestly, more spectacular feat that he was able to do this. But he is an avid horseman. He rode since a young boy. And so the hills, I mean, it's interesting. He knew when he was almost home. He could feel it. He could feel it in the hills. So he says he becomes one with the horse when he starts riding.
I mean, his life story, which many people will know, is that he was, he lost his sight quite young, and yet he goes on to become this kind of phenomenon in the classical music world and beyond. And this film, in some ways, I guess, is a testament that any disability we may feel we have, and of various sorts, he just sort of transcends them and just sort of desperate to really enjoy life to the full.
Yes, and I think that's, you know, something you can learn watching him. You know, he never let a disability stop him from anything. You know, his music became famous at 35. He started his career, 35. But all those years dreaming to come to that point. And, you know, you'll never hear him talk about a difficulty. You'll never hear him talk about something he can't overcome. He doesn't see life that way. Life is something to be explored, to overcome. I mean, it really is in itself such an example of deep faith to see him walk the life out like he has.
Absolutely. So in some ways, what you're saying, Christian, is this is a feel-good film. And I don't mean that in a trivial way, but it's a kind of life-affirming film, right?
Yes. You know, it's interesting. Everyone that has watched it so far, one of the words I keep hearing is refreshing. It's so refreshing. Mm. Like I just feel so uplifted. And, you know, we need that right now. There's so much tension in the world. There's so many things that have called you look at the news, you look at media, and it's just so much darkness a lot of times. And I think we need these films just to stop and reflect and go, hey, this is a beautiful world and God is doing great things right now. So I think this film will do that for people.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because I think film producers in particular have a particular vocation in that regard. They can make films which lift people up and inspire people, or they can make films which depress us endlessly. And it seems to be a lot of the latter and very few of the former. I mean, did this pilgrimage, because it's a pilgrimage route, Christian, did it have an impact on you personally as you were traversing it?
You know, it really did. I think the same that it'll have on a lot of people, but just to stop. I just feel like there was a moment where I remember the scripture, be still and know that I am God. And I feel like we're so busy sometimes that we forget just to stop and remember that God is in control and he is working in our lives. And so I think on this another scripture that kept coming to me on this trail was, In John, for Shaman, it says, in the darkness came a great light, and the darkness could not overcome it. And so often we focus on the darkness rather than focusing on the good things that are happening in the world. And I think that's what this film does, is it reminds us of what really matters, the beauty in life, family, and those things that make life worth living.
Yeah. Was it a hard sell getting production up and running?
I mean, it was a challenge for sure. We had a really quick
always
turnaround,
is.
But we had a quick turnaround. But you know, every artist that we reached out to was so excited to be a part of this project. So it really came together as a miracle.
So just tell us some of the other stars that populate this picture.
Yeah, so we have Tori Kelly, Torrin Wells, Grammy Award winning Torrin Wells, Michael W. Smith, who of course is in the Christian world. Catherine Jenkins, who is beloved in England. We have two cellos, Hauser from Two Cellos, 40 Fingers. It's really just an amazing mix of artists.
It really is. And I mean, it's a strange sort of a film because he's known as a crossover artist, which I'm not that keen on as a title because I think it's a bit lazy. But in a way, this film it's hard to define. It's a documentary, but it's not quite a documentary. It's a musical based film, but it's not quite a music. Do you know what I mean? It's slightly genre ill defining, right?
Yes, I like to say it is what it is. It's beautiful. It's funny, it's deep, it'll hit a lot of different emotions. Yes, you're right, we have pop music and classical music and orchestra. I mean, it's just so many genres. It's really a unique piece.
So you didn't get a chance to ride one of the horses in that posse that he seemed to have around him?
Actually, I did get to ride his horse.
Did you?
You
wow, and what sort of horse is it? Is it a very tranquil and gentle beast?
Oh, it's very spirited. He has he's a very good horseman. He does not want to ride. He actually rode through Central Park yesterday for our New York City premiere, and
wow.
He did not want to. He said, "I do not want an old horse."
That's wonderful. I mean, that takes. Yeah. I mean, I would have the oldest horse possible and the most sedated horse that's possible in my case, having had a few experiences in horses. But what's next for you, Kirsten? Because this is a wonderful film, which is going to do wonders. I'm absolutely certain. But are you a documentarian? I mean, I was looking at your CV. That's your kind of line. But is there something else that you've got on the projects at the moment?
Yeah, no, I work in a lot of different genres, some teaching series and documentaries, but actually we're looking at doing his 30th anniversary, which will be twice as big as this one. He just enjoyed this so much that he said, "I would love you guys to come back and do my 30th anniversary project," which will have different artists. So that may actually be next on the docket.
Wow. So this is incredible, really. And also there's an old saying in showbiz. You've heard it, Christian. I've heard it. Never meet your heroes. Was he as nice in reality as he appears on stage?
Oh, he was wonderful. He's such a genuinely kind person. He, his wife, his children, like you, salt of the earth. You won't find anyone. I mean, I don't think anyone could say anything negative about them. They're just really beautiful people.
That's wonderful. So you, as you know, Fathom Events have teamed up with you guys, and there's a big event starting, I think it's April 2nd, isn't that right?
That's correct, yes, yes. The film is coming to theaters, select theaters across the nation on April 2nd, and it will actually be, we've added some show times because it's just been, we've had such an amazing response, so it'll be playing April 2nd through Easter week, through Holy Week, so it's really going to be amazing.
And where can people best find out about the film and where to pick up some tickets?
Yes, if listeners would like to go to thejourney.movie, you can find out which theaters the movie's playing in. Journey.movie.
Yeah, journey.movie. And if anybody's curious, via YouTube, all the usual places, there's some absolutely beautiful trailers that have been created for this as well, Christian. There seems to be a whole array of them. I was sitting absolutely, when I should have been preparing for the show, I was sitting watching these things. This is amazing. I wish I'd been there. Christian, we're giving away some tickets this morning. Fathom Events have very kindly donated some tickets. So we will be hopefully sending some people for the April 2nd showing down here in Alabama. And on behalf of everybody who will be going to it and will be enjoying it, we'd like to thank you for all your hard work. Having once worked as a film producer, I take my hat off to anybody who does this type of thing in this arena. So thank you very much, Christian, for making the film, and also thank you for taking time out this morning during a very busy schedule to talk to us about it.
Thank you. It was a delight. I appreciate it.
So that was Christian Kelly, who is the producer of this very wonderful film, The Journey, a music special from Andrea Bocelli. And remember, the lines are open here at Archangel Radio. If you phone 888-928-0881, you could have a ticket to go and watch that at the Cinema AMC Classic down in Daphne on April 2nd. And there's 5 tickets to be had, so why not give it a go? Okay, when we come back, we will be speaking to the executive producer of this show, Michelle McAloon. She's coming back with an end-of-term report, and it's not going to be pretty. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency this Friday morning. Hope your Friday is going well, whether you're working remotely or whether you're in an office or whether you're driving, walking, sitting around, lying in a sick bed, doesn't matter. You're very, very welcome. Wherever you are, we are keeping you company and hopefully keeping you entertained. But we're also giving away tickets this morning to that wonderful Andrea Bocelli film that has just been released. You just heard me speaking to Christian Kelly, the producer of it. And you could be going to it on April 2nd. All you got to do is phone 888-928-0881. We have 5 tickets, and it's first come, first served. So the lines are open now, and Reed and Mike are eagerly anticipating your calls. Now, my next guest is somebody who's also very familiar to you. She is Mrs. Michelle McAloon, who is the executive producer of LA Catholic Morning and the Turley Frequency, and she joins me now. Michelle, welcome to your own show.
Thank you, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing well, Michelle. It's Friday. I'm sure, like me, you're feeling the effects of Friday and a slight bounce in one's attitude and aptitude.
Well, Fridays do that for people, don't they?
They should do. Even if you're working remotely, they should do. So, Michelle, today I think you said you wanted to come on and talk a little bit about the Turley Frequency. We've been going for how many shows now?
I think 83 shows we counted this morning.
83, wow. Feels like 830, 83, doesn't it?
I'll try to produce it.
And that's just this week. What's been your favorite, before we get into the business of all of this, executive producers, just to let people know, executive producers are the people who really pull it all together. They are the people who crack the whip when it's necessary, but also bandage up when it's necessary, and they also help out all the time. And Michelle's been a wonderful energy behind the scenes, keeping this show alive and also keeping it lit in the sense that she collects a lot of the guests and guest suggestions and making it all hang together and keeping Reed, Mike and me on the straight and narrow. So for that, we are extremely grateful. But Michelle, with all of that, I mean, what would you say has been your greatest joy in these 83 episodes to date?
Well, I think the greatest joy of the Turley Frequency, there's a couple things. One is your phenomenal talent. You are a extremely talented radio host, and that's been good to watch you develop and flourish in that. But I also think Mike and Reed are wonderful producers. We've seen kind of the best of them come out in this show. And I would absolutely be remiss with is forgetting our audience who calls into the Divine Mercy. And I think the Divine Mercy has been it should have been an expected blessing, but it's been a very unexpected blessing. And you have been able to create a community in the Divine Mercy with our prayer warriors, the people who text in, the people who call in. That I think has been, as a Catholics, we shouldn't be surprised, but the popularity of that portion of your show to me has been both surprising and heartwarming.
Well, that's very kind of you to say all that, and I totally wholeheartedly endorse that. I think that one of the reasons when we first talked about doing this show many months ago, the whole rationale was to do that Divine Mercy on air, to pray with people, to be a service to people, and also to help those who were lonely, isolated, fearful, or ill in some way, that they could reach out and have some sense of community, some sense of a praying community that was with them electronically and through the devices that we have these days to broadcast. But it was still there. It was still very much present. So that's the positives. Dare I ask, what has been the biggest challenge, as they say in the modern vernacular?
Challenges. I think part of the biggest problem with is because we're trying to do something different. From the very beginning, what we wanted to do is the team, the production team, you, I, what we wanted to do was step out of something out of classic Catholic radio. Now, I'm not dissing at all classic Catholic radio. I think it really has its place. But what we wanted to do is sort of break that mold to do something a little more, entertaining, but more of kind of a secular version of a Catholic radio show, to try to bring people in that maybe not necessarily would listen to Catholic radio, but through the content, through the jokes, through the bantering back and forth, that maybe open up the possibility of the church, of our Lord, of the gospel, of the Divine Mercy to people who may not be normally attracted to Catholic radio. And that has not been easy, especially because when you're starting something new, there's no pattern. We have not patterned anything. We've not patterned any portion of this show after any other radio show. And we've done that very, very purposely. So there's been some experimentation with it. There's been a few hits and misses about it. That is, I think, been the biggest challenge.
Yes, and I couldn't agree more with you on that point, Michelle. And I think it's a real credit to Archangel Radio that they were willing, you know, the board and Ellen Taylor, the station manager, etc., and all the people at Archangel to try something different, right? To step out of the boat and say, well, we're going to give this a go. Why? Because Catholic radio is ultimately about bringing souls to Christ. And what we're experimenting here, I guess, with On Air is different approaches to bringing souls to Christ, especially those that would never darken the door of a Catholic radio station in terms of their dial.
Right, absolutely. We really have to thank Ellen Taylor for taking the risk and saying yes to this type of programming, to this type of show. And my sincere hope, and I think all of our hope, is that yes, someone kind of stumbles across this radio station and says, hey, wait a second, I can listen to this. It's cool enough that I can listen to this, that I can connect with it in some way, whether we're talking about UFOs or we're talking about, oh my goodness, what have we talked about on this show? So many different things.
We've talked about everything. We've talked about werewolves, UFOs, but we've also talked about Sacrament of Confession, about bringing Catholics home. We've talked about Holy Mass. We've talked about the spiritual life. We've talked business. We've talked working from home, not working from home. We've talked about the skies, we've talked about the earth, meteorites, and well beyond everything, because there's nothing that's not beyond the Catholic imagination or the Catholic sensibility, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you've brought that out repeatedly, that, you know, all things belong to Christ, and we've been able to connect those things to the creation of God, to the wonders of this universe to the masterpiece of his creation. And I really think except for things that might be outright heretical, everything is open to that. So we've been able to be very, very creative in the content. Next week we have a marine biologist coming on talking about snapper season white sharks, the great white shark that was recently caught on the beaches in Alabama. So I think we can connect everything, and everything is open because it is God's creation that we're talking about. So that's actually been a really fun part of it, is having content that is not like on any other Catholic radio show.
And the other thing, just to remind the audience, Michelle, is that if you want apologetics, there's any amount of radio stations will give you that. If you want the devotional Catholics, there's any amount. We are just one of a number of Catholic radio stations, and perhaps that's the way it should be, right? That in the secular world, you have people who are dedicated to politics or sports or whatever it happens to be. Well, in the Catholic world, we can't just have one size that fits all on radio. There are going to be different styles of radio that fit different markets, different moods, and different audiences.
Actually, Kevin, I think you kind of fit it all. You put it all in that one show, between the Divine Mercy, between the UFOs, between the crazy callers. Who's that guy, Elliot, that keeps calling it? We have it all. We have it all right here. So I think the show has brought together a lot of the best elements of Catholic radio, but also introducing some new elements in Catholic radio. And you know what? It's been a great adventure. I hope we're able to continue it. Shows cost money, and the station needs money to continue to support this show. If we have, if there's anybody who has a business out there and would like to advertise on the show, please contact us, because we are looking for advertisers. We're looking for sponsors and supporters so we can continue this mission in experiment in Catholic radio.
And if there is anybody who's listening to this and they think, yeah, I'd like to sponsor this, I'd like to advertise on the network, presumably they just get in touch with you or with the station, and there'll be a friendly chat and things can be worked out.
Absolutely. And Kevin, I'm going to ask you, what has been the best part of the show for you? What have you found out in doing the show? Is there any kind of awakening for you, or discovery, any kind of development in your own faith life from doing this show?
Well, Michelle, you've done the thing which people like me find difficult, which is I like asking questions, and now you've asked me a question, and my mind goes blank at that point, which is unusual on the radio. But I was talking to my wife about this the other day, and I do think the first thing that I've realized is just how much work goes into a daily show like this. And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about Mike, Reed, Sherry, Ellen, everybody at the station, all the people who are working to get this 2 hours of radio up and running is phenomenal. And that constant demand that it has, that's the first thing. The second thing is that Drew Mariani said something the other day which sort of struck a chord, which is because when you turn the radio on, you expect your radio show host to perform, right? You have to do it. You just can't sit there and say, I'm not in the mood today. Come back tomorrow. We'll start again. And Drew said, I asked Drew about that. And he said, well, when the light goes on and the music starts and it's showtime, something happens and he's off and running. And I said to him, well, that's the mark of a vocation. And I have to say that 83 episodes into this, or 83 broadcasts, I have to say that I get the same excitement every single day about doing this show, and the same hunger, anticipation, whatever you want to call it. And it surprised me just how much it feels new to me every single day in the most joyful way. So I absolutely love it. And I would say that the greatest joy for me is the Divine Mercy, as you've said. And we've prayed for a number of people who've been in hospital or in difficult situations. And when we get those praise reports back that something has happened, that the Lord has given a little grace or answered a prayer, that makes it all worthwhile. If for no other reason that makes it worthwhile. But the other thing is this. If there was somebody listening to this show, listening to us today, or has been listening to us in these last 83 episodes, that has somehow come closer to their faith in some small way, they've decided to go to confession, or they've started going regularly to Mass on a Sunday or whatever, if there's somebody that has been moved in some way by what we have done, then do you know what? It's all been worth it.
I think so. I think, you know, for myself, I've actually become a devotee of the Divine Mercy, and I was not before, but sign me up, I believe. And I think there's other people out there that also have have grown in that same closeness to Divine Mercy. And I tell you, when you asked me what was surprising about the show, but I can tell you one other thing, is just how much rich content there is in our society that we can draw from the beauty of creation. And the energy, and especially the Catholic energy that is in our society now. I think the Catholic world is more creative, we're more energetic, we are more expressive than we have ever been before. And hopefully our guests have revealed some of that.
Amen. That's fantastic. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes left, Michelle, but if you could just remind the audience of something you said to me very early on, because we have had a number of guests on who are not only not Catholic, but avowed atheists or agnostics or whatever. What's the thinking about having people like that on air?
Well, first thing, I think they have something to say. They have, there's a richness that they add. They have gifts, particular gifts. But also, I hope that in being in contact with this show, with the Catholic world, with Catholics, it makes them stop and think. And maybe we're the only Catholics that they ever talk to, but it makes them stop to think, and maybe it starts a series of questions about what is faith, about what is Catholicism. And hopefully, maybe in some small way, it leads to if not a conversion, a closeness to Christ, a thinking of faith and of how important it is in every single human being's life. And that's what I really hope it does for both our audience and our guests.
You know, when you said that to me, Michelle, I knew I was in the right place. Because I thought that was a wonderful way of looking at the apostolate of Catholic radio. Because a lot of the time, people working in Catholic radio, we are preaching, we sometimes, the temptation is to preach to the choir, whereas what you're saying is that we go out into the streets, into the margins, as Pope Francis said, and we reach those parts of the world and people in them that maybe other parts of Catholic radio just can't get to, right? That's the hope.
That's the hope. That's hope. Okay, get back to work, Kevin.
I will do, Michelle. Always a pleasure to speak to you. That's Michelle McAloon, who is our executive producer on this show on LA Catholic Morning. And if there's anybody listening that wants to sponsor this show or get involved in the advertising on the show or on the network, then we'd be delighted to hear from you. Now, when we come back, we will be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and you're invited. So stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
Owned and operated for over 40 years, Spectrum Collision has been serving the Mobile area by providing all types of auto services, including mechanic work, collision repair, auto glass service, tires, and 24-hour towing. Located at 7060 Airport Boulevard in Mobile, Spectrum Collision can be contacted at 251-